Good morning. Our guest on Food for Thought is Dan Gazelka. This is a Life Matters segment, and our sponsors are Mike and Liz Brouse. And Dan, thanks again for joining us on Food for Thought this morning. Our topic is sex trafficking in our state and area. And Dan, I mean, this is something we hear a lot about in the news. And, you know, I think some people figure this is a Twin Cities problem or a big city problem, but that's not the case, correct?
That is correct. You know, I was a police officer for 13 years, and it's amazing in rural communities how this just kind of hides behind the curtain, and until you peek behind it, you don't really think it exists, but once you do, you can't unsee it. You know, Duluth, Minnesota, I was shocked. I joined the North Star Alliance Against Human Trafficking a number of years ago, which is a law enforcement program networking administrators together and getting training and delving into it. And we didn't realize what a problem it was in Minnesota. Minnesota is the second largest importer and exporter of human trafficking in America. Duluth, Minnesota, because of the harbors and the importing and exporting that they have there. So that's a major problem. Bemidji, Minnesota, last statistics I checked, it was number 5 in the state for sex trafficking. And it's horrific once you look behind the curtain. Oftentimes what people will say is, well, I live in a really small town where everybody knows everybody and nothing bad ever happens. And I will tell you, if you have the internet and you have depressed or lonely children, you have sex trafficking. And it might not look like something you see on TV. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of people do get some of their reality, is from Hollywood. It's very inaccurate. Some people think it's somewhere in between, or it's like the movie Taken, or it's the movie Pretty Woman. And really the reality is it's somewhere right in between. So let's say you have, call it Uncle Billy Bob, and he takes his niece and pimps her out for a six-pack of beer. That's sex trafficking. And it's looking different, but it still happens. I've had several cases myself that I've investigated, gotten convictions on. There's other cases that were beyond the scope of what I could do, and I had to reach out to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and in one case, the FBI. But I'll take a breath and let you talk or ask some questions, and I can go from there.
You know, I'm guessing proximity is a big part of the deal. Of course, you know, Minnesota close to the Canadian border. And as you mentioned, Duluth, a prime example with the harbor there. But before the internet, I'm guessing there was sex trafficking going on. But I would just guess that it has exploded since the internet came about.
Yes, with internet, especially with apps and parents not maybe staying abreast of some of the apps that are out there and keeping up with technology. You know, kids these days have access to nothing that we had access to when we were kids. And you like to think in small town America that type of stuff doesn't happen. But if your kid has a phone and you're not monitoring it, you don't have software on it, chances are they're talking to strangers. The vast majority of them are. And that's some of the cases I've had. One case I had early on in my career, couldn't believe it was happening, but this guy had been talking with this girl, groomed her for a number of months, sent her a bus ticket, and, you know, she was a prepubescent teen, and she got on a bus, and she traveled out of state, and she was abducted and taken to a hotel. Thankfully, she got away, and I got the FBI involved, as well as the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and because it was federal, they were able to catch him in a sting operation and put him in federal prison. But sadly, that's not always the case. Let's say we have a scenario where a child responds to a some sort of social media prompt, or she goes somewhere, or he, this is boys and girls, and something bad happens to them, something horrific, all the things that parents always worry about. Even if law enforcement builds a really good case with lots of great evidence, it can break down at any level. And I had a case that got, due to a conflict of interest, a different prosecutor from a different county took the case. It was a Loctite, airtight case, multiple search warrants. It was in the news. Had a lot of factual basis. The suspect had pictures on his phone of what he was doing to the victims. Everything got in, and the prosecutor did a plea deal, and the guy did 30 days in county jail, and that was it.
Wow.
And in Minnesota, we have a sentencing guideline, and oftentimes, almost all the time, actually, first-time offenders get a stay, and there's three types of stays. There's a stay of execution, which means the level of sentence stays on your record, but you don't do jail time or very little. There's a stay of imposition, which means if you don't reoffend or get caught reoffending, then it gets diminished to a misdemeanor instead of a felony. And then a stay of adjudication, it goes away and goes completely off your record. And there is no requirement to register as a pedophile or a sex offender. There is no level assigned, so law enforcement isn't even aware if this takes place, if a prosecuting attorney and a judge approve that. And that was the sad, sad case of Jacob Kiln, the suspect in the Beltrami County area, where he had been convicted on child porn. He did several months in county, was not required to register, nor was a level of offense assigned. It was not on his permanent record, and he was the one who ended up kidnapping, murdering the babysitter, and taking a little girl off into the woods. And those kinds of things could have absolutely been stopped ahead of time, and not anything on, you know, the parents, but on our legislature, on our statutes that allow this to happen. They put more emphasis on taking care of the suspect than they do on taking care of the victim. And it's really sad. One thing I've been working on with legislature, because it's so near and dear to my heart and I have kids, is 7 years ago I started helping legislature, helping House reps and senators put forth statutory changes that would require mandatory prison sentence for these adults that rape children. And they won't do it. And this isn't a partisan issue either. This is the GOP and the DFL. They vote no, and they have said time and time again, the first-time offenders, it is too harsh of a sentence to put them in prison. And I'm absolutely, as a law enforcement officer retired and as a parent, I'm appalled that that is the stance of our legislation. I don't know if they're thinking somehow that they can fix people, but they can't. When someone's gotten to the point of raping children, their brain chemistry has changed to a psychopath. That's documented. They take pleasure in this. This is not something that can be changed. Even therapy says they cannot change or fix someone. They can only teach them to suppress their urges, and that's not good enough. They need to be in prison. A first-time offense is a joke. It's not the first time they've offended. It's the first time they've got caught and convicted, which is a lot more difficult than people would think. As I mentioned before with my case, we had an airtight case, and the prosecutor wanted to win more than he wanted justice. And I told him, put me on the stand, let me show the jury the pictures, let's let a jury of the peers decide if this guy should go to prison or not. And he was too afraid of losing, and so he took that horrible 30-day in county deal. Yeah. Again, I'll stop talking. I can talk on and on about this issue, but what other questions might you have, Tom?
Well, Dana, one thing I wanted to ask you is what steps parents can take to keep their kids safe?
You know, step number one, as far as legislation, we've been trying to put these bills through every year, and we've pared them down, we've changed them, we've tried to get bipartisan support. There's a bill in the House right now, and it is HF 432. One of the authors is House Rep Matt Grossel. There's other authors and supporters of it as well, and they're trying to get something through for child porn right now that would move towards a presumptive sentence, where people that are disseminating or receiving or making child pornography would be held accountable, and that they would be registered offenders, that background checks would show that when they want to be a bus driver or something like that. So one thing they can do is call their House reps and their senators and tell them to support House File 432. I think that's very important. Too often people just pass the buck and say, well, let somebody else do it. Well, I'm not involved in politics. Well, that's not for me. Well, it is for you, because that's one of the grassroots things we can do, is tell the people that are supposed to be representing us to represent us and to support these presumptive commitments, these mandatory sentences for these people that would harm our most precious resource and our most innocent and vulnerable resource, which is our children. Another thing parents can do is get involved in what your kids are doing. And I don't just mean the electronics. Maybe it means putting your electronics down and taking a designated 20 minutes every day to talk about safety. You can talk about stranger danger. You can look at their phone. This is not their phone. I tell parents this oftentimes in some of the classes I do, that you pay the bills. This is your phone. You can install software on it. You can do your own phone audits where you go through your kids' texts, see who they're talking to. I've heard parents say stuff, well, they'll just shut their door. And I tell them, it's your door. Take the door off its hinges. They can earn it back. Children don't have a right to privacy in their home, and I mean that from a good parenting standpoint. Mm-hmm. It means you should be involved, and you should know what kind of people your kids are talking to, especially if they're talking to predator types that are hiding, pretending they're children as well. You know, we see lots of that. So parental involvement is huge. Open dialogue with your kids is huge. Talking to your legislature and showing the support is big. That's emails, that's phone calls. Then you become more than just a constituent that's a number. You become a real person who has some skin in the game and wants to be involved.
Our guest on Food for Thought this morning, Dan Gazelka. And Dan, when it comes to, there might not be one simple answer to this, but when it comes to vulnerability of kids, and like you said, boys and girls, who are some of the kids or what are some of the situations surrounding the kids who are most vulnerable?
It's mostly kids that are left to their own devices or kids that come from broken homes or that parents aren't really involved at all, or maybe they think they are, but they couldn't tell you who their kids' friends are. Things like that. And another problem can be, you know, when parents talk to your kids, you know, I have kids, I know what the eye roll looks like and what they do. So sometimes having an outside person speaking to that, like I've gone around when I was in law enforcement talking to schools and bringing awareness to this and even talking about, you know, date rape and stranger danger and those sorts of things. So sometimes hearing an outside voice can have a big influence in that. And, you know, I own a private business called Rampart, and we do a lot of you know, your permit to carry and stuff like that, but we do a lot of stranger danger talks. We do self-defense. You know, I have a couple classes coming up through community ed through Detroit Lakes and other community eds where we do stranger danger. We do active hands-on self-defense. And I'm certainly not the only one in the area. There's Revolution Fitness in Bemidji. They do some great kids self-defense courses. So that's some active stuff you can do, whereas you have that stranger coming up in a vehicle telling the kid to get in the car. They know it's okay to scream and run. We tell our kids from kindergarten through high school, don't hit, call an adult, call law enforcement. And I always tell people, when seconds matter, law enforcement's minutes away. And yeah, if an adult's there to help, great. But we need to give our kids permission to physically defend themselves. And if that means hurting someone else, that's just a foreign concept in today's schools. And we need to train them better. So when a stranger grabs them, they're not reverting back to, I'm not supposed to hit, I'm not supposed to, you know, be loud. That's the time to be loud, to hit, to scratch, to get DNA evidence, and to bring attention to what's going on. I always tell kids, if somebody grabs you, you start yelling, this is not my parent, this is not my dad, so people know you're not just throwing a fit. I mean, there have been brazen broad daylight attempts in various Targets, Walmarts, where a mental patient or a stranger or a pervert comes up and grabs a kid. And obviously that's worst case scenario. We're looking a lot more at the kind of the digital stuff, but the worst case scenarios do happen. So get some good training, get some good advice. And that's what I have to say on the matter.
Before I let you go, Dan, I remember when Minnesota hosted the Super Bowl, there was a lot of talk about sex trafficking, and certainly that's an event that doesn't come here every year, but I'm guessing there are other large events that are hosted across the state that do prompt maybe a little more attention toward the matter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a Caleb Munson is a local guy to Free Z, and he works with Free International, and they do a lot of events involving like the Super Bowl and other major events where there's child prostitution, adult prostitution of all kinds. You know, getting a hold of him, and that's f.r.e.e, Free International. Great organization. I've talked with their members quite a bit. And it's real, and it's out there. And yes, there's law enforcement does what it can, but, you know, sometimes a disease is so big the white blood cells can't take care of it all. So everything that we can do as individuals, any amount of awareness we can raise to those situations, you know, Governor Walz just signed a bill into law. You know, we talk about abortion as one issue, but he just opened it up to all surrounding states can come to Minnesota without parental consent and get an abortion. So every pimp that's pimping out girls and guys and children is going to be able to come to Minnesota and get a free abortion without parental consent. And that is not a good thing for Minnesota. That's not a good thing for our country. That's not a good thing for our children. And we need to stand up and talk against these sorts of things and bring awareness just like we're doing right now and give parents and people some options. So you have Free International for some really good sting operations that they do and some information. You have Rampart and other organizations that are going to be doing self-defense classes all over the area. You have our legislators working like this HF 432 bill, and there's software available for parents to put on your phones. I think with those four things, just as a starting point, parents have some things to chew on today.
Dan Gazelka, thank you very much for sharing your time on Food for Thought this morning. And again, this Life Matters segment sponsored by Mike and Liz Brouse. Dan, thanks again for your time, and we appreciate it, and good luck with everything.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. Dan Gazelka, our guest on Food for Thought this morning here on KKCQ.